Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Noon at the tone. Pacific Daylight Time will be.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hour number three, NBA playoff play-in, as you heard in Will Ortner's update, is in full swing. The Pelicans up 31-26 on the Lakers early. Some stars doing some things. Zion already with 10 points. D'Angelo Russell with 13. Coming up this hour, a little more NBA playoff talk. Maybe no Giannis for the Bucks. We're not sure how long. What could that mean? And could tonight be the end of the Splash Brothers? That didn't really occur to me until today because one Klay Thompson is going to be a free agent at the end of the season.
Is he a free agent?
And
I mean, if he comes back, that's going to be on a very team-friendly deal.
And we'll get into it. He's the kind of guy I think that is not always going to be chasing the bag and maybe content to do it in one uniform, but...
Or does he want to stick around or not stick around, but go somewhere that could actually maybe try to win another title somewhere?
That's certainly a possibility as well. And have some musings around Major League Baseball, nepotism alive and well in one specific job market, as well as the curious case of Esty Ruiz. Protest gone wrong, banging up in AAA, and now up in the majors once again, and a freak injury. But all of that will have to come your way after the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Online at victorricos.com.
Number five.
Number five, I'm not sure why we thought this was really going to have some legs, but Rory McIlroy shoots down the rumors that he's headed to live for $850 million. Now, that would be quite the bag, but he's banged the drum harder than anybody that LIV is terrible for golf and ruining the game.
Look,
so
I understand that at that point, like you can't do it because you've been so vocal about it.
But boy.
Boy.
Do you think there's a little part of him wishes he could?
You haven't won a major in 10 years. Your career's not what it once was. $850 million tax-free dollars? I don't know if they'd offer him $850 million.
Guys, I was really wrong about this tour. It is for the best.
You know what? If he decided to do that and he just came out and was like, it's $850 million.
I'm selling out!
I would respect him so much. Be like, yes, I understand. You're all going to think I'm, you know, this and that, and, you know, wishy-washy, and you can't trust. It's $850 million. There's nothing I wouldn't do for $850 million. Tax-free, $850 million.
Number four.
And maybe a surprise to no one, but the University of Michigan hit with recruiting violations. We knew that there was going to be some sort of penalty, probably after Jim Harbaugh left, and they got that. They're going to do 3 years of probation. They're going to pay a fine. They face recruiting restrictions. And five current or former employees are getting a year show cause. So no more coaching or participating for you for the time being.
Yeah, that's actually a fairly significant thing in terms of the NCAA because they have no real teeth. And by the way, this may be the last of their investigations. Because remember, they said at this point, like with the NIL stuff, nothing they can do. Although this isn't really... It's kind of a bit of a gray area, but... I mean, I guess kudos for them trying to punish somebody.
It always just feels like it's too little, too late. And maybe this time not too little, just too late. It's not – by the time it takes them to sort through everything, we're so far past those events that it kind of doesn't matter anymore and it feels inconsequential.
Well, like you said, okay, you gave a show cause to a coach that isn't there anymore. Okay.
How about a little back heel pass over to you, the resident Thorns fan here. Thorns looking for a new head coach.
Yeah.
Starting a global search as they have reassigned Mike Norris, their head coach, and named Rob Gale, their interim head coach. Still looking for their first win on the season. And saying, like I said, it's going to be a global search for their new head coach.
As opposed to a non-global search?
Yeah, like we're not just going to, like, I guess, look for other MLS assistants. They're going to go international search committee.
Well, I mean, I may love going to the Thorns games. I can tell you that I have zero input, and I mean
zero input
on who their next coach should be.
I expect a list of names by showtime tomorrow.
How about this? Someone that likes running the goals play.
Ooh! If they could get one of those, I think that would be good.
How about this? You know, the Thorns are one of the best teams in the league year to year. 0-3-1, not acceptable. They got a game coming up this Saturday.
A little bit of a quick hook, only 10-7-8 in his second season.
Oh, well, be better.
All right.
I tell you, that's an Asachi sort of thing. Get his ass out of here. Come on. Let's go.
Number two, some significant transfer portal news. When I heard today that Arizona big man Umar Ballo was going to Indiana, or University of Indiana, the Hoosiers, my first question was, how much?
Yeah.
And $1.2 million. Jeff Goodman saying that that was the asking price.
That's a tasty little number for him.
So the big man from Arizona going to Bloomington. It's kind of funny because this just has to be all about the bag, right? I don't feel like Indiana's particularly close to something big.
Well, I mean, again, I don't know what Arizona was offering, but if Arizona's offering you $400,000 and Indiana's offering you $1.2 million, who knows how all these things work and what goes into it. Maybe he didn't get along with the coach. Maybe he doesn't like the heat. But this is just the nature of the beast. Maybe he feels there's a bigger role waiting for him in Indiana. Indiana certainly has the money and resources and facilities.
Got to imagine Indiana's thinking, well, maybe he can be our Zach Edey.
He was the number one player in the portal. It's a nice get for Indiana.
Yep. Number one, the playoff play-in starting tonight. The first game already underway. Pelicans, Lakers, the winner getting the 7 seed of this one. Pelicans up early, end of the first quarter, 34-26. Zion Williamson leading the way with 10 points. CJ has 3. And then we have a loser goes home game tonight between the Warriors and the Kings, Northern California rivals. And I was just realizing today could be the last of the Splash Brothers if the Warriors go home.
Yeah, right, because Clay may not re-sign there or they may not be interested in re-signing him.
Yeah, I'll look into the details in the break. It's either an option or an outright free agent. But yeah, either way, this could be the end of that.
Well, I mean, if this is the end of it, I mean, appreciate the run for what it was. And by the way, I mean, it's the end of it anyways.
Yeah.
I mean, Golden State is not a contender. It looked a couple years ago that Golden State was going to be able to make the transition. You had the young guys with Poole and Kuminga and
they thought Wiseman was going to turn out, and that
right?
didn't
happen. So you had this thing where they went down, had a couple injuries, and then they had all this young talent, and it just didn't work out, right? Wiseman, obviously, is not there. Jordan Poole, not there. But they did win another title.
Yep.
You know, for all the, you know, the bagging on them, they did win a title kind of on the back end of that.
Yeah.
And
I think that's the one that people weren't really expecting, and that's the one you'll hang your hat on.
You win 4 championships. That's
enough.
It's an amazing run. Like, I know this weird thing about, like, Golden State, like, went out with they won 4 titles. Like, how could anyone be critical of that? And honestly, they won 4 titles and, for me at least, made the NBA fun to watch.
Yeah.
That was such, when they were cooking, that is as fun a basketball team is I can remember ever seen. That was anyone that's critical of the style of play that's played in the NBA, watch those peak Golden State teams because their ball movement and the small ball lineup, I thought that was great.
And then one more note, not likely to be available, at least for game one, Giannis Antetokounmpo against the Pacers. Don't know what that means for the series. He obviously had the calf injury that looked like it could be Achilles adjacent. Weren't really sure.
There's a lot of rumblings that he may not go in this thing. It's not just a one game. Because if you're Milwaukee and you are at all concerned that the Kevin Durant thing, the calf could lead to the Achilles.
And this was that exact situation. We're not sure. It's a calf. I think he'll be okay in the finals. They play him. Boom, it's gone.
You're not playing well. You're not a real contender right now. The first year was a little rough. You've got to make a decision, I think, after next year about Dame. Dude, if you have to, shut him down. Get another year. Find your real head coach or another year under Doc Rivers. Try to bring it back next year and give it a run because, look, you're not winning an NBA title with this version. You're just not.
No, you wouldn't think so. All right, coming up next, need to get to a little bit of LeBron news. It was 14 years ago that everybody in the league had a shot at winning him over when he was leaving Cleveland. Maybe the basketball mecca had a chance until they showed him a 10-minute video featuring Tony Soprano. That's coming up next on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
I've been waiting to get to this one. I think everything that happens involving franchises that can't get out of their own way seems to be hilarious to me. And sure. The Knicks are certainly one of those franchises. The way they have mishandled their relationships with some of their all-time legends, the way that just James Dolan has generally conducted some sorts of business. They've had a hard time remaining competitive really in a long time. I think their last title was in the 70s. And it's been a rough go. Finally, they're a 2 seed this year, and got a lot of nice pieces, despite having a handful of injuries.
Yeah, I mean, if this is a healthy team, and you have Julius Randle to go with OG and Brunson, who's probably going to be a top five MVP guy, you got something cooking.
By the way, I do want to mention, did you see the Dante DiVincenzo nugget?
No.
Okay, so he was up for Most Improved Player of the Year.
Okay.
He played in 81 of 82 games this year. Was not eligible.
How's that?
The rule states you have to play a minimum of 65 games and average 20 minutes a game. He needed 9 more minutes to qualify.
Really?
And he would have won first place, but they said, nope, not going to be him because he didn't qualify.
Seems an odd.
Now, I know they put a lot of those, I think, minimum standards in place for awards for like MVP and stuff like that, but
sure.
Most Improved isn't necessarily going to be a guy that's a starter for you, and it feels like playing, if you play more than 65 games, you should get some leniency on the minutes. But he goes for 81 games and just a hair under 20 minutes a game and not eligible for the award.
I guess rules are rules, right? I suppose.
I guess.
Oh, sorry, man.
Well, the Knicks were one of many teams that wanted to try and pry LeBron James out of Cleveland in 2010. This was when he infamously took his talents to South Beach instead. But today we learned on Pablo Torre's show that LeBron was pitched by the Knicks with a 10-minute long video that included James Gandolfini and Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Let's hear what we've got from that.
Yeah, I'll take you.
Tony, I'm so glad we moved to New York. Life is so much better now.
Yeah. Life's good here, Carl. Even if we are in the witness protection program.
Now, we just got to find a place for your friend LeBron to live. What's he like?
Well, he's a modern guy, but he respects tradition.
Well, here's something classy on the east side.
Well, is it big enough? It's going to be entertaining a lot of people in New York.
It's very expensive.
Oh, that's not going to be a problem. You got to find something magnificent. Something there's nothing in the world like it. One of a kind, like he is.
Well, here's a place. It says it gets really loud there. Take a look.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's going to be perfect for him.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
So that's Pablo Torre and Rob Perez and Jason Concepcion all laughing at this. By the way,
I mean, it's pretty silly.
This is 2 years after The Sopranos ended. So you're like, you're really... And so apparently, though, they really got Edie Falco and James Gandolfini. Gandolfini's sporting a huge beard that he never had when he was Soprano. Yeah. Apparently, it was shot in his actual apartment, which LeBron was reportedly hyped about. But needless to say, this did not work.
Well, I mean, I suppose it's like a college recruiting thing, right? Like that's the sort of like cheesy thing that they do for college recruits. So why not do it for LeBron? If you don't think LeBron's is above like someone kissing his ass and sucking up to him.
He certainly is, but wouldn't you I feel like if you play that and who knows what the other 8 minutes look like or whatever, but I guess it's I think the Trump line in there was everybody who's somebody's in New York. And so they're trying to sell him on that. Internet pointing out how ironic that was after LeBron has since gone on Twitter and called Trump a bum and Trump uninvited him to the White House.
I'm trying to think of, I don't know, like if someone was trying to woo me, would like if you got if you got the cast of The Big Lebowski back together. Look, I don't know if it sways me, but I'll tell you what, I think it was awesome. If you got Walter and the dude back together and they did some sort of pitch about rolling with me, yeah, you might get my attention.
And I think that's true, but is there any indication that LeBron is a Sopranos guy?
Yeah, I guess that's the question. Is he a Sopranos guy, or were you just like, well...
And just because that's cool to like the New York people, like, is it cool to the just a kid from Akron?
Wasn't Tony in New Jersey, though?
He was in New Jersey, yeah, and so what they were saying is 2 years later, witness protection, because remember, the whole finale thing, we're not sure what happened. And they're in New York on witness protection. That's why he has a beard.
Wasn't everyone into The Sopranos back then, though?
It was a cultural phenomenon. I don't know that everybody was into it, but certainly, like when the finale hit, that was a really
big deal. Did they think LeBron was really into it because he carries around the Godfather book and never reads
that
it?
That was the tie-in I was wondering about. Yeah, we often see LeBron walking into or off of the team bus into the locker room carrying the literary copy of The Godfather, and he's usually on page one or two.
There's no way, by the way, zero chance that he's read The Godfather. It's just not. He's not going to a game and being like, let me bring my well-read copy of The Godfather. Nice try, LeBron. Maybe that's, you know, either that or I don't know what else you're thinking of. You would think that a place like New York, you could pitch a lot of things, but...
So
is LeBron not aware of what New York has to offer?
I don't know.
I would have gone the hookers and blow route. I would have brought out like Dwight Gooden and Daryl Strawberry and been like, hey,
so granted,
you want to know about being an athlete in New York, let me talk to you about 1986.
We forget that LeBron would have been like 22 or 23 then. Because this is like, he'd been with the Cavs for 4 or 5 years. And he'd been with them from 07 to, or 05.
Oh, three.
There's no way he was there.
Hold on. I'm wrong about that. No.
He was 03, so 7 years in the NBA.
He would have been 25.
He's my age.
Yeah.
He'd be my age right now. Tony Soprano would have worked on me, just saying.
At age 25? Okay.
25. Yeah,
well, I watched at age 2 summers ago, I went back and watched The Sopranos. That show was awesome.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you know,
but I think it would have been better if instead of Edie Falco, you have like Pauly Walnuts.
You could have Meadow Soprano, you could have Adriana.
You can't have people that are dead, though.
That's true.
This is 2010. Pauly Walnuts was alive.
No, this was after the...
No. Character was not, though.
Yeah, the character
Pauly Walnuts never died.
Didn't he get his head run over at the end?
No, that's the New York boss. That's the silver-haired guy.
Oh, I thought Pauly did.
I thought
Pauly doesn't die. Pauly's like...
The lone man, like, on the run?
Yeah, it's ambiguous. No, you're thinking of... the New York boss and then his right-hand man, Silvio. Silvio probably died.
It's I don't know about you, but maybe it was Silvio. This many years after a show, boy, details just start. Like, if you could go back and watch The Sopranos, and I would be surprised by, like, half the things. Or you'd be like, oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that.
I like to go back and do a rewatch on shows. I actually tried to go back and start The Sopranos again, but I'm like, I don't know if I can do 60 episodes of this now when I know the main crux of it. Yeah. It was awesome one time through. I didn't think I needed to do it a second time.
I can't do entire series again. Like, I can watch bits and pieces, but, like, I got a buddy of mine that's watching Vikings for the first time, mm-hmm. and he's trying to talk to me about it, and I have to do the... And that's one of my favorite shows of all time, and I have to be like, wait, what... Which one was that? Oh, yeah, kind of. And he's like, hey, what was happening here? And I'm like, oh, God, I don't remember.
That's like when someone new watching Game of Thrones asks you about, like, what was going on in Game of Thrones. Like, I don't know. The families were fighting, and then there were people crossing each other, and I don't know.
Yeah, I can't. Anyone that can remember details on a show that goes 6 or 7 years, God bless you, because that's, that's not me. Well, apparently it didn't work, so good luck, New York. Although, like... New York hasn't had a relevant team in forever. This Knicks team, especially next year when Randall gets healthy, that mm-hmm. Knicks team is going to be a problem for people.
Well, and it's funny, too. We were talking earlier about the tanking and how it makes absolutely no sense in the play-in. There may have been a little tanking in the Eastern Conference right before this started because
100%.
People believe that the Bucks wanted to avoid the potential of playing either the Sixers or the Heat, which is who the Knicks are going to draw. And, boy, after the Knicks scrapped for that 2 seed, I don't think that's the matchup you want.
Oh, no. We've seen it in the regular season. Teams that are already in a guaranteed 7-game series, absolutely there's teams that can massage their record. You just don't do it in the freaking,
when it's a do or die.
When it's a do or die in the play-in.
Of course not.
The Lakers up now by 5 against New Orleans. So
oh, they flipped that thing in a hurry then.
They're not tanking.
LeBron is, he's still doing it. The guy's amazing. It is, I mean, I haven't always appreciated from the taking my talents to South Beach to some of the ways that he's propped himself up, whatever. But every time I watch him, like, turn it on a playoff stage, I marvel again. He's still the best at it whenever he wants to be.
To me, it's always Jordan. I think Jordan's the better player.
Oh, and I would give Jordan.
I'm a Jordan guy, but if you want to look at totality, you look at Jordan at the end when he was done playing or whatever it was, 36, 37, whenever he retired, and it was fat. Not even fat, but fatter.
Yeah, he was. I mean, for Jordan.
He was fat for Michael Jordan. And the Wizards thing and all that, and then you look at what LeBron's doing at, what, 39? I've never, even Kareem, Kareem played that long, and at the end Kareem was somewhat effective. But this is, from a longevity standpoint, this is Tom Brady, Barry Bonds, and you can debate whether LeBron's on some of the Barry Bonds stuff. I kind of think he is, but you never know.
Maybe even better than some of the Barry
Bonds
stuff.
Don't look behind the curtain.
Yeah, he trust me, LeBron is, he's doing stuff besides the
cream in the clear.
The cream in the clear and the
blood spinning, maybe.
Hair restoration stuff. But either way, whatever he's doing, I've never seen an athlete play this long at this level. Because even Brady, to an extent, quarterback, In today's NFL, you're not having to run around. Dude, that guy and what he's doing, running up and down the floor on an NBA court, playing at both ends.
Well, he can still be physically the most dominant player out there, which is crazy.
In spurts.
Not consistently, but like in spots. When he picks his spots, he can still do it, and that's nuts.
Pretty ridiculous. Yes, never seen anything quite like it.
He's already got 9 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds. About halfway to a triple-double with about 3 minutes to go in the second quarter. So we'll keep an eye on that one. The Warriors and Kings coming up in the Loser Goes Home at 9:10 play-in a little bit later. Coming up next, want to finally get to some baseball talk. The curious case of Esty Ruiz, some nepotism in the business, and Rocky's Gonna Rocky. That's all coming up next. Here's Ortner with SportsCenter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Trying to sort out who died in what show. Like, we're going through The Sopranos. We're like, wait, didn't...
Wasn't who, it this?
What did
no,
this
no,
guy,
no, is that?
Like, they left it ambiguous, then it moved to Game of Thrones. And I'm like, outside of Ned getting his head chopped off, who the hell killed who in Game of Thrones? There's a lot of, like...
Bud well, was John like, killed Daenerys.
Yeah. And then, like, didn't... There was the Red Wedding, but who was the Red Wedding between? It was between the Stark
the
guy.
The Freys and the Starks.
The Freys, that's who it was.
The Freys. Remember.
They were like the weird forest people, right?
No, that was the weird guy who kept marrying his daughters and then having more kids.
Yeah, Walder Frey?
Yes, and he had a bridge and they had to cross it. So then the Stark kid, the actor's name is Madden, was supposed to marry one of the daughters. He then backs out to marry his like nurse handmaiden lady, and then he has to go back to the Freys. So then the Freys take money and
Will.
The Boltons take over, and then the Boltons become
Will actually geez. Knowing what the hell's going
I
on.
I am smart.
Yeah. Look, I'll give you credit for remembering. I like it's all just like vague details. I'm like, there was a Stark, there was a wedding, someone's pregnant, they stabbed him. I'm like, didn't Cersei die like in a big pile of rubble?
Yes,
right?
Holding on to her brother lover,
yeah,
Jamie.
Right?
Yes,
like,
yes.
It's a little...
And it all got set off because she got caught with her lover brother, Jamie, and they pushed
Bran
out the window.
Out, and then he became the three-eyed raven.
Boy, and then we had Arya and the Ice King and, you know, the whole thing. White Walkers... Giants.
It's all just, it just blurs together in one big pile of, I don't know, someone killed someone over something.
That's about
it
right.
It was good until the final, like, 12 episodes.
Well, the Oakland A's ownership slowly killing their fan base as they have announced all their, you know, the moves they want to make. They're supposed to be off to Las Vegas. They're still trying to secure the right funding, stadium, things like that. But this year's been an ugly one for them. The attendance has been way down. Opening night, their fans hold a rally outside of the stadium and don't actually come in. And one of the groups that's been a particularly vocal is called Last Dive Bar in Oakland, or just Last Dive Bar. And they've been a group that's trying to get Oakland to put down roots and stay. And a lot of players have come to their events saying, like, yeah, we're with you. We support you. And they have some of those, like, Live Strong-looking wristband bracelets that just say Last Dive Bar. Well, Esty Ruiz and Brent Rooker were both wearing those earlier in the year. And Esty Ruiz got sent down to AAA, despite at the time hitting 273 on a roster that's averaging 206.
He was clearly one of their best players and was sent down as punishment and spite, which is why this organization continues to be the worst in all of sports. And that includes the Coyotes.
So Esty Ruiz goes down to AAA for 11 games where he hits 326. 326 with 25 total bases. He's got an on-base percentage of .423 and an OPS over 1,000. So, of course, they call him back up, but do they start him last night? No. Of course not. But they put him in a spot when they need him, and he hits an absolute rocket.
Just moonshot.
107 miles per hour off the bat. StatCast says it would have been out in all 30 parks. And he gives the team a much-needed boost. And then even after the game, it was really odd. They asked the manager about him. And they're like, yeah, he's starting to come around. He's starting to swing it better. We're starting to see him work on a few things. And it's like, can we give this guy his flowers? He's absolutely tearing it up. And maybe just tell him don't wear the wristband and let that be that.
Right? Like, he was one of your three best players. You sent him down, and he, like, what, at what point when you send him down, like, are you like, we just, like, they don't even care anymore? Because none of this stuff is defensible. It's like when the Orioles did that with their broadcast.
Yeah, they were
play-by-play guy.
Yeah, he was critical of either their recent player or road trip or something like that.
Yeah.
And they they grounded him for a couple weeks.
It's just, there's just some things that you can't defend. And the A's are just such a pathetic organization. And I wish Major League Baseball would grow some balls and force a sell. The NHL's doing it. So the NHL is basically forcing a sell of the Arizona Coyotes. They're going to move to Salt Lake. And then they're actually going to say that if we expand again, that Arizona and the same owner will get another crack at this. But they are basically saying, no, you're going to sell it and get it the hell out of Arizona. And Major League Baseball should just force Fisher to sell, because at this point it is just – all they do is suck up league revenue with revenue sharing and produce nothing.
The
in
thing
return.
Is, I think the rest of the league wants a team in Vegas, and so they're like willing to deal with how poorly Fisher runs everything because it might mean them getting a team in Vegas.
Yeah, it's just,
but that doesn't mean it's what's good for the league.
We'll see if the Vegas thing actually, you know, comes to fruition, and we'll see if and when it's in Vegas if it's run any better. Because I'm not convinced that just because they're in Vegas that Fisher isn't going to continue to run this thing as a piggy bank and continue to be a laughingstock and spend no money. And if they do, shame on Major League Baseball for not doing something sooner. I mean, they forced the sale of the Dodgers.
Yep.
We've seen this.
Yeah, they did.
You know, where it's like, hey, man, you financially you can't do this. You know, and it's time to move on. But you know, it's hard to get owners to vote another rich guy out of position, because they're always afraid that they're going to come for them next. But I just wish that the owners would grow some balls and get him out, because how anyone can think that what the A's are doing and have done for the last 15 years isn't just a black eye on the game of baseball. I don't know. And again, they're just costing the league money because they take money and they don't put anything back.
No, and they don't really try to.
No,
it's just sad. One of the things that is happening in Oakland today or early in this week is, I guess I want to ask you, is it something that's really cool or is it just lame nepotism rearing its head? Because the announcers for both teams in the series are father-son. You have Chip Carey and his son Chris Carey. Chip does the play-by-play for the Cardinals, who are visiting Oakland. Chris Carey, now his first season as the A's play-by-play man, also Chip Carey's father, Skip, and their grandfather also in. So it's a four generation MLB Carey broadcaster thing, which I think is kind of cool. But then at the same time, you think about all the announcing in pro sports and it feels like everybody is somebody's kid.
Well, I got to be careful with this. First off, I mean, you obviously have to be somewhat talented,
sure,
right? If you can't do it just because your last name is Carey,
if you're going to start tripping over your words, they're not probably giving you the microphone.
No. So let's just say, for, you know, let's get it out of the way, that none of these guys are bad, right? They're not bad at what they do. But we also need to be honest that there are a lot of people that can do that job.
Sure.
If you went around the league to all the different minor league teams and small markets, there are people doing the play-by-play for a single-A baseball team that, given the opportunity, would do a great job at the
sure.
major league level.
Yep.
Right? There is a lot of people that are capable of doing that. The problem is, it's really hard to climb that ladder.
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely is. So when your name is Carey or Collinsworth.
When you're the great-grandson of Harry freaking Carey.
And someone can be like, hey, my grandfather and my dad both know this guy. Your name gets you in the door and you get introduced. It's the Mike, you know, and Golic Jr. thing. It gives you an opportunity and then it's up for you to stay. But yes, it's absolutely silly to think that nepotism is not alive and well. And maybe in broadcasting, it's as bad as anywhere in sports, because it does feel like that if your father has as a name, you can get one too.
I think about, obviously, Joe Buck had Jack Buck. You've got Noah Eagle and Ian Eagle.
Yeah.
You've got...
and by the way, Buck and Eagle are both...
No, they're both great.
They're both great.
Kenny and Marv Albert.
Yep.
But would you like... This is where you start to go, huh, I'm looking at Chris Carey's resume and where his previous stops. He was broadcaster of the Kodiak Kettleers of the Cape Cod League.
Okay.
The Amarillo Sod Poodles in the Texas League, and the Arizona Fall League. That's it.
Yeah.
So he's been doing pro ball for a whole 3 years.
But then that's, whereas it might take someone 15 years to climb the ladder, it takes him three. By the way, I looked it up. Just in major league sports alone, there's 40 plus legacy families in broadcast.
Not surprising.
So when you look at how many, like the number of those jobs. So if we're going to say like the 3 to 4 major sports, you know, 30 to 32 teams, like there's not many of those jobs. And there's already 40 plus broadcasting families.
The other big one too is like, did you go to Syracuse, Northwestern,
yeah.
Temple?
That is a good one, yeah.
It
Syracuse
also depends
for sure.
on like the colleges that you were at where it, that can also help you get in.
I'm looking here. Even Calabro's got one. You know, Kevin Calabro.
Is that right?
Yeah. He's got his David Calabro, who's been working out in Indianapolis. Of course, you get the. I'm just trying to think of ones that I didn't necessarily know.
Yeah, and there have to be so
well,
many.
Like
that
the worst one is Jack Collinsworth. That yeah.
they made up a job for him that didn't exist and wasn't needed.
Like it does not. Like he serves no purpose there other than Chris. I guarantee in contract negotiation was like, look, shave a little off mine and give it to my stupid kid so that I don't have to pay for his car insurance. Like Jack Collinsworth does nothing, and he is handed that. Job.
You know what I wonder, and I just remembered. Remember when Craig Sager's kid was doing it a little bit, and then when Craig, you know, got sick and declined very quickly, then they like let his son almost take over for him, and a lot of other people, including Popovich, were like had his back, kind of uplifting him. That was sweet. I don't really remember what happened to him though. If he kept on that path,
yeah,
or,
I don't know whatever happened with that. But remember I'm looking at some other ones. Bob and Brian Greasy.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Phil Simms, right? And Chris.
Yep. Yep.
And, you know, and Chris, they got the Hasselback brothers. And I guess that's not father son, but that's brothers. You know, it helps. It certainly helps to have a, just helps to have an in. And by the way, that goes for everything.
Of course.
There's not a place in life where
knowing someone doesn't help you a little bit.
Yes. How many companies, maybe one that we work for, how many companies the president is the son of the guy that founded the company?
It happens.
Craig Sager II, according to his LinkedIn, he is the managing editor of Score Atlanta.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So he's still in sports media. One more story that I wanted to get to before we turn the page. Colorado Rockies. Boy.
Yeah. What are the Colorado Rockies?
They cannot stay out of their own way. They looked like they were going to have a terrible roster going into the season. Their ownership hasn't been especially great. I know that that fans have been upset with how they've run things, how they've let good players like Nolan Arenado leave town. And
for basically nothing, by the way.
Yeah, getting nothing in return.
Go back and look at that. That's one of those, like, what are we doing besides
it was basically
being
like,
cheap?
Well, it was almost, I don't want to say it was Ohtani-esque, but it was a little bit like, well, we don't really think that we can re-sign him, but we don't want to trade him because that would look bad. And so they just kind of let him walk.
Yeah.
And you're like, really?
Yeah.
But the Rockies last night couldn't stay out of their own way, literally. Needed a runner late in the game. And so who do they put on third base? Their number one ace pitcher, Kyle Freeland.
Although, to be fair to the Colorado Rockies, the pitching injuries we've talked about on this program. Pitchers can't stay healthy. They're getting hurt left and right. So how is this Colorado's fault?
Well, if he was throwing his splitter, you wouldn't necessarily blame the Rockies, but he was running the bases. And then in that moment, decided that he was going to make a mad dash for home where there was going to be a play at the plate. A collision occurred, and he broke his arm.
There is such a great photo of him. It's not great.
The overhead angle is tragic. Yeah, I mean, he is writhing around like he's been sniped.
It is just his legs all bent akimbo, his like arms underneath him. He's screaming and yelling. You just lost your number one pitcher, not to a UCL injury, because you needed a pitch runner on third. By the way, there's no one else on your bench that can run? Is he that great of an athlete?
Well, clearly not. He broke his arm.
I've never seen this. I have never seen the number one starter for a team go into pitch run at third. I've never seen it.
I believe I've seen Tim Lincecum used as a pinch runner for the Giants when he was their ace.
Really?
Yeah, because he was like their most athletic pitcher on the bench. But
he was fast.
But it still doesn't mean you should do it. I mean, if especially in a game in April, like you don't have a better option. Like you can't grab somebody from the pen who might not see the hill that night.
He,
I don't know.
He gone.
He gone.
He got the broken arm.
Right.
By the way, speaking of the UCL,
you don't know, obviously, the elbow epidemic.
I saw a thing with Dr. James Andrew, who's like the father of Tommy John surgery. Sure. I was kind of blown by this, because I'm assuming he knows what he's talking about since he kind of invented the procedure.
Created it.
Yeah, he was saying that the UCL, the ligament in your elbow that gets all these pitchers keep blowing out, he said that doesn't mature until somewhere between 24 and 26.
Really?
Yeah. He said that the biggest cause of these injuries is like terminal velocity at a young age, that you're having these people, you know, before the ligament ever matures. And he said that he doesn't recommend someone until they're at least 20 throwing over 80 miles an hour.
Oh boy, we're in trouble.
And that's
not going to work here.
Not
going to work anywhere where they're playing baseball.
Just basically, if any pitching prospect from the time they're 16 years on up are all throwing well over 80 miles an hour. Yeah, I just thought it was interesting. We were talking about that the other day and what can be done about it. And he just said you should not be throwing hard when you're a teenager.
Well, so then much like the college football thing, what do you do? I mean, because you can't.
Nope.
There are always going to be coaches and players and families and parents that are like, "Yeah, go out and throw your hardest," because that's kind of what kids do. How are you curbing that? You're
good
not.
Good luck telling a 15-year-old, a big time prospect,
hey,
and his dad,
slow it down a little bit,
that he shouldn't throw more than 80.
Develop a knuckleball.
A whole generation of knuckleballers.
Really,
that'd be wild.
Tim Wakefield.
I just thought it was interesting that I again, the father of Tommy John surgery was like, well, if you want to know what the problem is, it's right there, throwing too hard, too young. And he said once the elbow matures, he says it's a different ballgame. That ligament thickens up and it can handle much more of a workload. But if you're waiting until 24 or 25 for that to happen, yeah, not certain you're going to convince a lot of players that that's a wise decision.
Saw something over the weekend that I thought you guys could both weigh in on. Sports TV beers ranked. We'll get to that as we wrap up the sports hour of the, or the sports portion of the program on 1080 The Fan.
Prime time with Asachi and Soup on 1080 The Fan.
Ah, yes, Asachi rubbing elbows with Peyton Manning down at Augusta National. Asachi will be back on Thursday, and we will have to hear all about it. But yes, the Asachi World Tour going well so far, it sounds.
Yeah, the rebrand has worked. I mean, Isaac Robb went to the Masters a couple years ago. He did not get to meet Peyton Manning to hang out with him. Asachi goes and getting let into some sort of exclusive club, I guess.
So I want to get to, I saw this over the weekend during the Masters, and as avid sports viewers, I want to ask you guys your thoughts on it. A man named Kevin Clark, who writes for The Ringer, said he went out and ranked his sports TV beers.
Right.
Basically, and not beers that are on TV, but the best beers that you consume while watching sports on TV. So his list is number one, the 3:30 afternoon college football game kickoff beer.
Solid beer. Well, I've done this with like just ranking beers in general,
mm-hmm.
like the vacation beer, the garage beer,
the shower beer.
I'm a big fan of the yard work beer.
Yeah,
it's tough to beat a good yard work beer.
And do you like to do the yard work beer mid yard work or post yard work,
well,
or
both?
Well, yeah, I guess that's a dumb question.
You don't start yard work with a beer. You earn that beer, and then when you finish, then there's the second, and then maybe the third or whatnot. But yeah, like you got to put in at least a 45-minute sort of effort before you crack a beer.
Disagree. So his list is the 3:30 college football game beer.
It's a good
number
beer.
Number two is his Masters beer. I guess that could be any time. I mean, it could be early round, late round. It doesn't specify Thursday, Sunday, what have you.
See, Masters is more of a cocktail for me.
I would agree.
You know, that's I'm more likely to get into some brown than I am crack a beer, but I'm following him. Same principle.
First round of the NCAA tournament beer.
That's good
beer. That's often a morning beer.
That
it could be a 9 a.m. beer.
Yeah, that's one of those like where you... But, see, it doesn't have to be that beer.
No, definitely not. But I've also done the thing where, like, I had the day off work and did the whole open-to-close bar situation where you watch hoops from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m.
I love
start
doing
then.
That in college.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Love doing that for the tournament.
The morning beer for me, that's either a vacation
mm-hmm.
or Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, you're getting a morning beer.
That's the other one that makes this list is the Thanksgiving NFL beer. Like when you're watching the Lions and Packers in the early slot.
I'm not going to lie. That 10:30 Thanksgiving sit down, because I have no responsibility with the Thanksgiving meal. So I sit down in a chair and I crack one. That may be my number one. because I know what that's going to lead to. I have no responsibilities that day. I'm going to eat myself sick. I'm going to take at least three naps. That I'm going thanks. If we're going sports beers, I'm going Thanksgiving 10:30 Lions, whoever. That's my number one beer.
I think that's a good one. Will, like, do you have one?
I like Christmas Day beer, especially now that football is starting to be played.
Yeah.
If it's just NBA, I have to drink it to get through there not being football played.
I'm gonna take – I like an outdoor beer. So this – granted, you have to have outdoor viewing. You have to have a screen set up. But I want something that I can watch – you know, the first inning of a baseball game and sit down with a cold one on a patio. Like, I don't, it's a harder to find scenario. I do not have a television outdoors, so it's not happening at my house.
I don't either.
But I love the scenario where you're in an open air outdoors watching a screen with sitting down to start the event.
Yeah, we're ranking in-person sports beers.
Baseball beer is the best.
Baseball
beer
is the best. 100%.
The one that you bring to your seat that you bought on the way in, sit or down, bro. First pitch.
I'll tell you, like, a lot of times the sporting events, I don't even beer because it's just, I'm not trying to do like,
but no, but the return on your investment's not great.
You really gotta, if I'm drinking beers, you're gonna have to get me going for a while, and I don't want to buy 12.
It cost a pretty penny to get you turned.
But at a baseball game, that's the one where I will buy a handful of beers every single time. But if I go to a college football or an NFL game, it's not a guarantee that I'm buying a beer. And if I am, it might be one. Baseball is different. There's something on a sunny day. I'm walking in. You go up to the pink. They got the tall boy Rainiers. I'm cracking that son of a gun. The moment I walk in, before I even get to my seat, I go and buy two. And I'm just working my way to the seat. And then you have those two. And then I go get food. And there's another one or two on the way. The baseball beer is by far.
Yeah.
The best in-person sports beer.
I'll tell you what, I got forced into the baseball wine at the at the Pink. You can buy a full bottle of wine, and I was forced, and it sucks.
So you wait, did you have the whole bottle of wine yourself?
It was bought for someone else, and about halfway through, it was, well, I'm going to get rid of it, and it got very much like Sook and the corn dog with his daughter of, I spent $70 on this damn thing. I am going to finish.
Wine. That's where your age definitely will show up. And I was absolutely this way. It's like, well, we can't let that go unconsumed because of what was spent on it previously. Logic.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I don't have a lot of money, and this is getting drank. The other great beer, another morning beer, 4th of July.
Yeah.
That's a great beer.
Yep.
Early morning, 4th of July, Cinco de Mayo as well. I know that those aren't necessarily sports-based, but you are going to get some sort of baseball game or a bunch of baseball games during that time. Great beers.
One of this...
4th of July, Cinco de Mayo, St. Paddy's Day, I'm not...
Great beers.
Yeah, great beers, but it's not a morning beer for me. I'm not... I'm too old to wake up on St. Paddy's Day and it's like, hey, it's 9:30. No, that's not happening. I think that's a young man's game.
Well, especially when that St. Paddy's Day coincides with the first day of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah,
that is a glorious thing, right?
Beautiful
there.
Beer.
Yeah, that's a nice 12 beers
and
right
it's
there.
It's a Guinness.
One of the top comments here says, "I'm not one to judge, but this list is heavy on the day drinking." And the original author goes, "Yeah, nighttime beers are not sports beers; they're just beers."
That's true. I mean, because that's just, you can have a beer anytime. Yeah, when you're starting day drinking, you know, again, that it signifies that something different is happening. Although, you know, we probably should normalize that, you know, a little more often.
It's a darty, man. There's nothing wrong with a little darty.
All right. Well, we have gone on the sports segment long enough. It's time for Copa Isachi, also known as Club 1080. That's coming up. The AI girlfriend industry is about to take off, and it's going to be worth how much? That's next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.